It's 8:45 on a Monday morning. We are joined now in studio by a number of people. We have joining us from the League of Women Voters, Kathleen Doran Norton. Kathleen, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thanks for having us.
And thanks for arranging everything. You brought with you Kate McDonald, who is the housing coordinator of Northfield Union of Youth.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks for coming in. And also Catherine Kovacek, who's a member of the youth board at the Union of Youth.
Yes, hello.
Did I get all those right?
Yep.
All right. Kathleen, let's start off with you. Homelessness in Northfield. Boy, a lot of people, it's not something you see that often. The average person does or know about, but that doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. It's very real.
That's exactly right. You're right. Who would think homelessness in Northfield?
Mm-hmm.
So about a year ago, the League of Women Voters started hearing little snippets of, well, we've got this problem and that shelter is full and there's two dozen youth in Northfield that don't have a place to stay on any given night of the week, and another three dozen down in Faribault. And so we engaged in a study with a St. Olaf social work class this last spring. And so this Thursday evening, September 13th at 7 over in Viking Theater in Buntrock Commons in St. Olaf, we're going to talk about the study. I certainly didn't know anything about all of this. And I've been meeting with housing groups. There's a Rice County Homelessness Task Force. There's a Northfield Housing Group. The professionals who work in this area all know about it. And in fact, one of them, after a meeting, said, we don't need any more studies. We know there's a problem. We need some solutions. Well, that may be true, but I don't think the rest of us know that there's an issue. And you're right. In Minneapolis, we've been hearing about the big tent city that's on the south side of Minneapolis. Rural homelessness doesn't look the same way that urban homelessness does. And so it's a little harder to see, maybe because in rural areas, we'll take people in. We'll take in the friend or the cousin or whomever is having troubles for a while. But it seems to be three different aspects. One is what I call the knot. You know, it may be mental illness or drug abuse or domestic violence. All of those sort of things kind of wrapped into one that just create a knot of a problem. One of the many interviews that were done in the last year said, you don't know whether to tackle everything all at once or one thing at a time. The second piece is sort of the slippery slope, the homeless for a couple of days, for a week, you can't pay the mortgage, you got a car repair, you're paying more than 30% of your income on housing, which means that you're just that far or maybe slip into homelessness back and forth. And the third was youth homelessness, which was a complete surprise to us.
Mm-hmm. And that's where, let's talk with Catherine, let's talk with Kate. I guess we'll start off with you. Kate, you're the housing coordinator for the Northfield Union of Youth. First of all, describe your job and your role, what the housing coordinator does.
So we found that there is a huge problem of homeless youth in Northfield, and that housing instability for youth is a pretty dire picture, and they're needing a lot more support than there has been in the past. So what we have done, we've managed to get a grant from the state as well as some other funding from other sources to help address this problem. But the problem with youth homelessness looks very different than adults who are experiencing homelessness as well. Catherine, do you want to speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like one of the bigger issues with youth homelessness as opposed to an adult being homeless is that there aren't as many services that are available to youth, and it gets a little bit tricky on what services you can provide and the legality of all of it. And then I think another thing about it is that a lot of youth, I feel, are more unwilling to reach out or feel unable to, and I think that that's another big problem with it as well.
Now, do you know people that are in this situation?
Yeah, I have peers that have been in the situation. I know youth that I see at the Key who are experiencing the issue. I've experienced the issue in my own life as well. So,
you have, the circumstances that bring people into homelessness, that's got to be pretty dire. Kathleen had, it's something that a lot of adults would find hard to imagine, but is that common? Are youth without homes for extended period of times? Do they live their life that way? Do they go to school? What kind of lifestyle do they have?
Sometimes, yes. Sometimes homelessness can go for a very long time for youth, mm-hmm. and especially for the reason that it often goes unnoticed, mm-hmm. for, previous reasons that I've mentioned. And it makes it hard for youth to continue to live their lives, and something as simple as going to school becomes a huge task.
Well, if you don't have, we're talking homeless. Is it basically the clothes on your back? Are they just kind of put out in the cold? Do they have a place to store clothes or, maybe take a shower, get cleaned up?
Sometimes yes and sometimes no. I think there are some youth who are able to, reach out to their friends or maybe their relatives and say, hey, can I come take a shower at your house? Hey, can I leave this bag at your house? But there are youth that I have encountered even recently that just stay in their cars or even perfect example, stay in their tent outside somewhere in downtown Northfield. So,
really?
Yes.
An actual tent in downtown? Do they put it up every day and take it down, move it around? Or?
I probably won't go into the details of it, but yeah, they take it down during the day, put it back up at night.
Now, Kate, you had mentioned, and if one of you others can answer this as well, there are some legal issues with providing help, at least an organization providing help. What are the legal issues? Is it against the law in some cases? Or?
Not necessarily. The Northfield Union of Youth, which is the umbrella organization over the Key, and has various different initiatives for the community, it sort of works a little bit outside of the usual system so that we can address issues that would normally lead into a lot of legal tangles. Once a youth reaches 16, they have a certain kind of independence on certain levels, even within very regulated systems. But since we're working outside of a highly regulated system, what we do is we can try to make amends and have a lot of restorative work, restorative justice work, as well as reconciliation work with the family, to work with the family so that we don't get into those legal binds.
Mm-hmm.
See, what happens oftentimes with youth who are experiencing homelessness is that they find themselves, oftentimes kicked out of their home. From their parents, their parents might move away and not bring them with them, or they might just simply kick them out. Oftentimes it's based on broken relationships. And what they're often able to do at first is couch surf at a friend's house or at some parent of a friend, someone who they trust. But then they kind of overstay their welcome a little bit because people don't expect to have a youth there for an extended period of time. And so they go from couch to couch to couch until they don't have a place to stay. So the legal picture of that is actually rather easily navigable if you base it on relationship and to mend those relationships. We could speak a little bit about what the Northfield Union of Youth is doing to help with homelessness and the homelessness issue with youth as well.
Yeah, let's do.
So basically, we have been working on, we've launched a host home program, which is very small at this point, and it needs to be small, just a handful of dedicated host homes who can provide a place, not just a place for a youth to stay, but kind of a second home where they can be there and they can get their feet under them in order to build up their life. So that's one branch of it. Another branch of the Host Home Program is basically where we can resource the people that they already know and they might already be staying with so that they can stay with them. We're also finding other resources for youth who are experiencing homelessness, such as a way to take a shower, such as we've had a great partnership with the YMCA so that they can give them a membership so that they can take a shower. Otherwise, the CAC has been extremely helpful in providing them with vouchers for various different things, as well as providing the food bank. So, you know, say a voucher for clothing at the clothes closet, things like that. So there's kind of an approach to finding whatever resources we can for the youth to give them a leg up so that they can get their feet under them and get a standing.
Yeah, that you brought up another thing that I wanted to touch on, and that is food. You know, if you don't have a home, you probably won't go home to a meal, and then there's the issue of money and employment and such. And what is available to them is the food aspect of it. And Kate, I guess I'll address this to you. Are they able to get regular meals somewhere?
I mean, I can't speak for every single youth, but I mm-hmm. think the youth that we work with, particularly at the Key in the Northfield Union of Youth, I think we do a pretty good job with providing them with food. During the school year, we get donations from Carleton and St. Olaf, mm-hmm. and so we'll have their food at the Key, and you can just have as much as you want and all that, and then, I mean, I can't imagine any staffer unwilling to buy a kid a meal if they were approached and asked that question. So I think in regards to the youth that we work with at the Union of Youth, food, for the most part, is very accessible.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's talk about the future. At some point, I don't know what your experiences have been. Do these, because homelessness, it's not just something that's happened this week, as we'd mentioned before. It's been going on for probably years. Kids get older. They become young adults. Is there an age-out time? Do they, you know, what has your experience been? Do these kids end up getting jobs and just kind of transition into the adult world on their own?
They do. They do transition into the adult world. Obviously, they do need a leg up to help out with that. Mm-hmm. But I've known youth who have... They've spent time in the past living in a tent or spending the night under a bridge, who have gone forward in their lives, who have their own apartments, who have jobs, who have careers going, people who are doing really, really good work in the community after having that leg up. So it's amazing to watch, actually.
Now, from a standpoint of... resources and going forward in the future, what would you like to see? You know, it would mention more, there's been studies and stuff and people identify, but where the rubber hits the road, what would you like to see?
Well, several different branches. Mm-hmm. The first one I say with a lot of caution, where we are recruiting just a handful of host homes, but they do need to be referred to us by people that we know as well. Mm-hmm. They have a vetting process, they have a training process, all of that. But for more people, we have resources to support the host homes. We are looking for people who can be there, especially people who have experience with hosting, say, foreign exchange students, to support those host homes. Also people who can help provide food. Also people who can provide, you know, a little donation or cash assistance to help with day-to-day things.
Mm. All right. And Kathleen, we're just about out of time, but I want to turn things back to you and the League of Women Voters and where the League is going with this again.
Sure. Well, this Thursday is mm-hmm. the meeting that we're going to talk about this. We're also going, besides the Northfield Union of Youth, we're also going to have folks from Isaiah who have been doing interviews throughout the summer, more focused on affordable housing, and we'll also have Commissioner Galen Malika with us Thursday night. Rice County just finished a housing study for our county and found some interesting things about affordability and housing. So we're going to sort of go through the study and then talk more about all of these sorts of things to see where we do support. I must say, Thursday is the day for housing. Duluth is having a statewide conference on homelessness. St. Paul is having a study or a forum on affordable housing. And so we're doing our own little bit Thursday evening.
And the public is welcome to attend?
Absolutely. Okay. The more voices we have with all of this, the better.
And that, once again, that's at St. Olaf at Bundrock?
Thursday evening, 7 o'clock, Viking Theater in Bundrock Commons, St.
Okay.
Olaf.
Yeah. All right. Anything else that you'd like to pass around?
Well, we have started this project called the Wallflower Project.
Okay.
I want to give credit to Catherine as well as Skylar, who is also on our board for host homes and housing. And that's the idea, is to help youth to come out of the woodwork and to talk to us.
All right. Well, Kate, Catherine, Kathleen.
We didn't make it easy.
Hopefully I didn't mess up on anyone's name over the course of the interview here. We want to thank you all for coming in. You're doing good work. We certainly appreciate that. If there's anything that we can do from the standpoint of media, let us know. We'd be glad to help out.
Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for joining us.